Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, curses and superstitions, very common in the history and folklore of all sport, of course, but they get very intense when it comes to explaining away a frustrating lack of success. Win, and the curse is broken and banished forever. Lose, and that curse will follow a team until they can prove otherwise. Later today, as you well know, Mayo looking forward to break a 70-year curse by winning the All-Ireland, and Cara Kelly of RT Sport is here now to tell me about that, as well as some other creepy sporting curses. There are more than you think, by the way. So, Cara, welcome back to the programme. First of all, anyone who might not be familiar about what's happening this afternoon, explain to us the Mayo curse.
Yeah, of course. So, I suppose the Mayo curse is one of the most famous curses in Irish sport. Their legendary curse, it dates back all the way to 1951, which was the last time that Mayo won the All-Ireland and they lifted the Sam Maguire Cup. So, the story goes that the winning team of 1951, on their victorious drive home, they were passing through Foxford and there was they passed by a funeral and they neglected to pay their respects. And a local priest cursed the team and he said that they would never win an All-Ireland again while any member of that 1951 winning team was still alive. Now, since lifting the Sam Maguire almost 70 years ago, they've reached 7 different finals and they've lost each time.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
It's pretty weird and it's heartbreaking for the Mayo fans. And, you know, they're so passionate and they really, really want to win. And, you know, they say that the priest might have been mindful just to curse that men's team because they've won plenty of minor titles. They've won 4 ladies football titles. They've won the senior club trophy, has spent time in Mayo, and they've also won the under 21 title along with that as well. So it seems to just be very specific to their men's senior team. And of course, they fell short of Dublin on so many occasions.
Yeah, I'd like
so
to
many
turn
finals.
To that priest and say, what exactly is paying a proper respect? I mean, maybe they were getting out of the way and like just maybe that's, and they didn't go over and kiss the car. I'm not so sure. Anyway, okay, so we'll find out more about that this afternoon. And I think most people know about that one. What about other ones? Because that's the infamous Mayo curse.
Yeah, of course. So another GA one is with the Clare Hurlers. A lot of people would have heard the name Biddy Early. And this was one that kind of haunted the Clare Hurlers.
Am I allowed to say I've never heard of Biddy Early? So you better tell me.
You're allowed to say that. That's no
problem.
Biddy
Early. Yeah. Somebody just said, sorry. Biddy Early.
So in the 1914, the Clare Hurlers won the All-Ireland. And it would be another 81 years before they'd ever get back to those famous steps in the Hogan Stand again in Croke Park. And of course, over time, you know, there was plenty of excuses why the Banner team, they just could not emulate that team in 1914. And of course, you know, people start to turn to, you know, reasons of supernatural origin. And there was a woman who had a reputation for her magical and healing powers named Biddy Early. And she was born in Faha in East Clare in 1798.
1798?
A long time ago. A long, long time ago.
That's the most violent year in the history of this state or this country. Yeah.
She was a very well-known clairvoyant locally and indeed throughout the country. And, you know, she was said to have cured people and animals from all over the place, and including those who were said to be cursed by fairies as well.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah, so
Biddy,
it all makes
get
sense
Biddy
now,
on
yeah.
the phone. I need Biddy. Let's get rid
so,
of the fairies.
You know, she'd been tried for witchcraft in 1865, but people were really reluctant to testify against her. And she said to have placed a curse on the Clare Hurlers, which resulted them in not winning an All-Ireland for over 8 decades until the curse was broken in 1995. Now, there's lots of, you know, stories around this, but she died in 1874, which was 10 years before the GAA was even founded, and it was 40 years before Clare even won their first All-Ireland in 1914.
Sorry.
So she must have been a pretty good clairvoyant to have predicted all of that. And of course, famously in 1995, when Clare won the All-Ireland, Ger Canning on commentary said, "Eat your heart out, Biddy Early." And it's one of those kind of iconic lines of commentary that's stuck around since.
God, she's my kind of clairvoyant. Seriously, like a 40 year... Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, sorry, it's not ridiculous. It's true. It's a completely true story. So anybody else?
Of course, so a lot of people will know Aaron Ramsey, and this is a rumour and a kind of a theory that started
on the internet. Inter at the moment? Juventus?
He's with Juventus, and of course he's a Wales international as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, he used to play for Arsenal. And, you know, there's a rumour and a theory that any time he scores a goal, a well-known celebrity is doomed to pass away shortly after. Yeah, so this is one of those...
must be very recent, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So, you know, he crops up a lot with, you know, really important goals for both his club and for his country. And sometimes there's a sinister downside to it. And fans have labelled it the curse of Aaron Ramsey.
So if he scores, someone dies who's famous.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, apparently
so. So like,
so
there's a couple
and
of examples. So on August 25th, 2009, Ted Kennedy passed away 3 days after he scored against Portsmouth. On May 2nd, 2011, Osama bin Laden was killed. This is the day after he scored against Manchester United. 5th of October, 2011, Steve Jobs... This was 3 days after he scored against Tottenham. And on the 20th of October 2011, Gaddafi passed away. And this was a day after he scored against Marseille. And Whitney Houston was another one. She passed away on the 11th of February 2012. And this was a day after he scored against Sunderland. So there's plenty
there. Juventus have done pretty well this season.
They have.
He's playing with them now, isn't he?
I know, yeah. So he scored 64 career goals.
And how many has he scored in the last year?
23 have followed. 23 have been followed by the death of a celebrity.
Really?
So, you know, it's a third of the goals he scored.
The curse of Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah, and he's talked about it himself. Now. He's acknowledged it himself. He thinks it's absolutely ridiculous.
Does he?
He does. He said it's the most ridiculous rumour I've heard. And he said there's been loads of occasions where I've scored and somebody has died. But he said it's just a crazy rumour.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, give us another one.
So, of course, the Euros final took place in July earlier on this summer. Italy faced England and they broke English hearts after a penalty shootout. And,
With the big smile at the back of the thing he was on the other night there. What's his name? Chiellini.
So he claimed that there's claims that he put a curse on Bukayo Saka of the English team moments before the England forwards penalty was saved by Donnarumma, which, of course, was the winning moment for
Italy. I saw a full page on just that in one of the papers
It was you know, heartbreaking for those. And, of course, Saka is such a young player that it was a tough one for them to take. But he needed to score to keep their dream alive, to try and keep the final going on a little bit longer. But footage emerged that Chiellini was mouthing something as Saka began his run-up, and it's been identified as Kirikocho. So Kirikocho was invented by the legendary Argentinian coach Carlos Bilardo. And he noticed when he was in charge of Estudiante that a fan called Kirikocho was always present at training sessions whenever his players seemed to pick up injuries, and it got to the point where he actually sent him to the opponent's training to see maybe he'd have the similar effect on some of their opponents before they played them. And of course the story stuck around, and Chiellini did confirm to ESPN after the Euros final that he did in fact say that when Saka was heading up to take that penalty. So who knows whether that
was
it.
Yeah, of course he missed, and it was, what do you call him, Manchester United, Rashford hit the post, etc. Yeah, three of them failed. Yeah, they didn't get a goal. Okay, so that's Chiellini versus Saka at the Euro 2020s, and they should have got in touch with Biddy early. Okay, anybody else?
Yeah, so another one. So in baseball, this is probably one of the longest running curses, and it's said to be one of the longest running curses in the history of American sport, and it's the Chicago Cubs and the Billy Goat curse. So this one, during the 1945 World Series, when the Chicago Cubs faced the Detroit Tigers, one of their longtime fans, Billy Cianis, who was owner of the Billy Goat Tavern, and he used to go to the games with his pet goat, as he'd done all the time. But on this occasion, those around him started complaining about the goat smell, and the officials at Wrigley Field asked Cianis to either take the goat away or to leave himself, which he did. And he sent a telegram to the Cubs declaring they would never win the World Series again. And since that time, the legacy was just legendary of this curse, and it was known all over the world. And they came close on so many occasions, but in 2016, the Cubs finally won after 108 years.
Of course,
2016 is one of those years. It's kind of known as the year of the underdog. You know, Portugal won the Euros, Connacht won the Pro 14, Ireland beat the All Blacks in Chicago themselves. So it's one of those long standing ones, but they did it on a year where plenty of other underdogs.
Wait a minute, this guy went to every match with his Billy Goat.
With a goat.
I love it. Fantastic. Okay, all right, so go on, tell me more.
So back to soccer then. Birmingham City reportedly suffered a 100 year curse from the years of 1906 to 2006, and the legend says that when they moved from Munt Street to its current location at St Andrews, where they were building their new stadium, it was on land that had been populated by the Romani people. And the Romanis were angered. They were obviously being made to move out of their own land, and they allegedly put a 100 year curse on the club. It became so ingrained in the club that even managers began to take this so seriously. Ron Saunders, one of their managers, he said that during his tenure he was placing crucifixes on floodlights, he painted the bottom of players' boots red, all in an attempt to break the curse.
He painted the bottom of players.
Yeah.
Okay, so he made the bottom of their boots red, yeah.
And then one of the other managers, Barry Fry, he was manager in the 90s, he urinated in all four corners of the pitch after a clairvoyant told him that this might be a way of trying to break the curse.
That Biddy early again.
I know. And
I presume he did that for a laugh. He didn't mean it.
You wouldn't know. Some people take it very seriously.
God, that's a bit sad.
But on Stephen's Day in 2006, which was 100 years after the curse had been set, Birmingham, they beat QPR, and 4 years later they decided they won their first ever major final in history, winning the league.
So 100 years.
It's 100 years, exactly.
Amazing. Okay. Any more?
Yeah, so to snooker then. Of course, the Crucible is where the World Snooker Championships are held every year, and they've been there since 1977. Yeah. And there's a curse called the Crucible Curse. And this one is that no first-time winner of the World Snooker Championship has ever successfully defended their title. And that's since the event was held in the Crucible since 1977. So of the 17 first-time champions that have won at the Crucible since 1977, only two of them have ever even made it to the final the following year, and none of them have ever won it. Now there is rumours though that this curse, it might not be just limited to the Crucible, is in all snooker championships of the modern era, which is since 1969. All first time champions have failed to get to the final the following year.
Wow.
So an interesting one.
Yeah, it is indeed. Any more?
Yeah, so then back to baseball now. So the curse of the Bambino will be very well known to anyone who maybe has any connections in Boston. And this is one that evolves in the failure of the Boston Red Sox baseball team to win the World Series for 86 years. And this misfortune began after they sold their celebrated star, one of the most famous baseball players, Babe Ruth. They sold him to their rivals, the New York Yankees, in 1919. And there's been plenty of attempts to try and bring this curse to an end. Some of them include placing a Boston Red Sox cap atop of Mount Everest, burning a Yankees cap at the base of Mount Everest. They hired a professional exorcist to purify Fenway Park in Boston, and they even retrieved a piano from the lake that Babe Ruth had pushed it in many years
earlier. Sorry, what? Babe Ruth had pushed a piano in the
lake? Into a lake. Yeah,
rock and roll.
I know, very rock and roll. So the frenzy around this one really, you know, got to new heights when they even started having discussions about exhuming the body of Babe Ruth in 1994. But a decade later, in 2004, the curse was lifted when a foul ball hit by a Red Sox player struck the face of a boy sitting in the Fenway Park stands.
Why would that lift a curse?
Well, it's believed that the boy lived on the very farm that Babe Ruth had owned.
Oh my God!
So there was a connection all the way back to Babe Ruth.
Fantastic.
And some people maybe who would have been in Boston around the time of 2004, I was actually there myself in 2004, not when they won, but I was in Boston, I have family there, and Brigham's Ice Cream in New England, they have actually released an ice cream at the time called Reverse the Curse. It was to that level that they were just doing anything to try and deal with this.
The level you've mentioned most is the manager
crazy.
Of Birmingham doing a pee at four corners of the pitch.
I know, so this was one that really had taken hold, so that was an interesting one as well.
One last one.
So yeah, the final one then. So Sports Illustrated, many people will know the magazine. So there's one, it's the Sports Illustrated cover jinx, and it's a curse that's believed to affect the performance of any sports personalities or teams that feature on the cover of the magazine. So many athletes appeared in the cover. They went on to experience, you know, a slump in performance and, you know, just kind of had a run of bad luck. And in 2002, Sports Illustrated themselves acknowledged the supposed curse, and they put a black cat on the cover of the magazine along with the headline, "The cover that nobody would pose for," because it was becoming such an issue for them. But there are some big exceptions
So they got the joke then. Like
they got the joke. Yeah, they made a joke.
What do you call it? What's the big magazine in Britain? Hello? No, not Hello. What's it called? The other one that was all. Yeah, it is Hello.
Yeah,
sorry.
Hello. Yeah.
And isn't there a curse of Hello? Like this beautiful couple in their gorgeous house, and 6 months later they're divorced.
They're divorced. You know? Who knows? But there was some notable exceptions to this, and the likes of Michael Jordan and Muhammad Ali all kind of graced the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Words, it's not true.
Well, that's the thing.
Oh,
you have to
God.
Kind of take this with a little bit of pinch of salt, you
right,
know?
Yeah. And a bit of help from Billy Early. Brilliant. Okay. Well, listen, good luck to both teams this afternoon. And good luck to Mayo this afternoon. Okay, Cara Kelly. Thanks a million, Cara, for dropping in.
Thanks a million, Dave. Dave Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.